Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. I am here with Jackie Lynch, author of Va Va Voom, the 10-Day Energy Diet. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Jackie Lynch.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be here.
You are a registered nutritional therapist. What is a registered nutritional therapist? What do you do and what do you treat?
A registered nutritional therapist is somebody who's registered with the Complementary and Natural Healthcare Council, which was set up by the Department of Health to regulate complementary therapies. It means that anyone who's on the register has a qualification that meets national occupational standards for nutritional therapy. In my clinic, I see all kinds of different people who are looking for a nutritional route to either support an existing medical condition and the treatment they're having, or to perhaps take a preventative approach to healthcare. So it can be anything from digestive issues, skin issues, weight management, stress-related conditions, or female health issues such as menopause, fertility, etc.
Excellent. And one of the things I imagine you hear frequently in your clinic is, I'm always tired, I'm exhausted, I'm tired all the time, I have no energy.
Yes. And that's exactly why I wrote the book, because even when people don't originally consult me about fatigue, 9 times out of 10, fatigue or resolving their lack of energy is going to be one of the goals or one of the secondary goals they have.
Because in order to tackle anything in your life, whether it's the primary concern or the secondary concern, you need the energy in order to do it.
Well, that's right. And of course, energy comes in many different forms. It's not just the physical strength and stamina. It's also the matter of motivation, the will to do something, the ability to concentrate and focus so you can achieve something.
And the feeling of positivity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So we're here in January, and it was absolutely pouring dark and miserable out there this morning. So, and also people are trying to, having a dry January or thinking about positively changing their life. So this seems like a good starting place. And one of the things that you, I think, want to tackle first in the book is sort of the stigma of fatigue, because, you know, we talk about being positive and energetic, and those are all good things. But if you don't have the energy to do that, you're kind of considered a loser, first of all. And, you know, there's that to battle first. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I think that's very true. You see it with both lack of energy and also stress. People don't like to admit that they're tired and stressed. I think we often see it as a weakness. And it's particularly common, I think, amongst women who are copers, the people who everyone says, oh, isn't she marvellous? She can cope with anything. You can give her anything. They tend to get more and more given to them. And inside, it's a little bit like the swan. They're working away, desperately trying to catch up with everything. And so I think there is a sense of, amongst women who can be very hard on themselves, to not want to admit that lack of energy is a problem, when in fact, 1 in 5 people consult their GP for issues related to lack of energy. So you're certainly not alone if that's you.
Yeah. And also, because if you are that person, sort of the curse of the capable that everybody gives things to, whether you like it or not, you sort of perceive yourself as capable in that way, because they perceive you as capable in that way, which is a compliment in some ways, but then does become sort of a trap, if you will.
Yes, I think it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? And the more you're given, the harder it is to achieve everything that you've got to do. But if you are naturally an achiever and a coper, then you're going to push yourself harder to do that. And then, of course, what will happen is you might achieve all those projects and everyone continues to think you're marvellous. But there's a cost there, and it's going to impact you in a number of different ways. Because once you get overwrought, overtired, overstressed, that's going to affect your sleep. It will have an impact on your weight, your skin. It can affect your digestion quite significantly, and also hormonally, whether or not you're perhaps trying for a child or perhaps you're going through the menopause. Either way, fatigue and stress can have a big difference on that.
And your relationships,
yeah,
and sex drive and all of those fun things. So the book is called The 10-Day Energy Diet, and this is a diet in terms of lifestyle, not in terms of losing weight, this is for an energy boost and to sort of realign your lifestyle along promoting energy lines. Is that a good summation?
Yes, I mean, that's exactly right. It's a little bit of a reboot, if you will, because as well as the 10-day energy diet, there's the maintenance plan which follows that. So that once you've sort of restored things and got a little bit of your va-va-voom back, the maintenance program will help you carry on with that, but it also will take into account life. And we all know that life is full of social occasions, business issues, things that will get in the way. So it will help support you through that.
Excellent. All right, so the book starts with, one, how to use the book, which is very helpful. If you just, you know, you don't want to know the whys and the wherefores, you can just hop to the diet.
Exactly.
I get the science.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm fully aware. I'm just going to go right to the diet. That's there. There's recipes to go along with that. And as you said, the maintenance plan post that. But for me, you start out with four different quizzes for
yes.
us to take, which were very easy before anyone gets overwhelmed. They're very easy. And tell me how you designed those and what you're trying to assess, what kind of picture of me you were trying to get.
Well, in my experience, in my clinic, I see that there are different types of tiredness. It can relate to energy highs and lows throughout the day. It can be a general sense of sluggishness and feeling lethargic. Sometimes it's more of a loss of concentration or focus. And other times it's that sort of completely on the floor, feeling exhausted all the time. And from a nutritional perspective, different nutrients or the lack of different nutrients can make a big difference to those particular areas. So what I wanted to do at the start of the book with these quizzes was to help people identify actually what might be going on with them. It's not a diagnostic tool, of course, but it will give you a few indicators as to perhaps which of the recommendations in the plan might be more relevant to you so that you're really going to the heart of the matter straight away.
Yes. I have to say, I found, and I thought this was very interesting, through the recommendations, I'm very lacking or potentially very lacking in magnesium and vitamin D. So I saw a lot of the things, you know, sort of stress-related, and some of the questions, a lot of them are physical, but a lot of them were, in terms of what you were saying, focus and fog, but also feeling of being overwhelmed, etc. And before I was answering these questions as if it were before the holiday. And I was feeling very overwhelmed. And a lot of the things, you know, there's alcohol, there's sugar imbalances, there's stress-related factors, sleep factors. It was really interesting. Talk to me about, because after the quiz, you get into the science part of the book and how energy works, and there's a metaphor, you know, sort of an engine-driven metaphor. So talk us through that a little bit, because it was fascinating.
Okay, well, energy production in the body is a little bit like a car engine. A car is going to require fuel, it's going to require the ignition, you have to switch it on, and then you're going to need things like the spark plugs so that the energy converts itself, and then ultimately you're going to need those things that keep it going, like engine oil. Don't worry if you're not a car fanatic. You don't need to be to understand energy. But I think most people get the idea of switching a car engine on. So what I've done is I've pulled apart the energy production process and put the nutrients into the different areas. So magnesium sits very firmly in the ignition area. And I'm not at all surprised to hear that magnesium came up top for you, because in the nicest possible way, you are the direct target for lack of magnesium. Most women of roughly our age usually are. Because the truth is, you know, magnesium is a mineral, but if it were a person, there is no doubt that it would be a very busy woman. Because magnesium is the multitasker of the minerals. It's got over 200 jobs to do. Amongst other things, it will... it regulates our stress response, it calms the nervous system, it relaxes and supports muscle function. It can support digestion. It does loads of things. And it gets dramatically depleted by stress. So in that busy run-up to Christmas, it's not at all surprising you were running through the magnesium and feeling a little bit like you were clinging on by your fingertips. It's a very familiar feeling if you're low in magnesium. So what I've put in the book are two chapters, one which is called Energy Boosters and one which is called Energy Robbers. And based on what you found out in the quiz about your possible issue, you can go straight to the booster, whether it's the ignition like magnesium, the fuel like carbohydrate, or possibly a spark plug like vitamin D. Or you can go to the robber section and see what might be going on with your blood sugar, whether or not a food sensitivity might be playing a part, or any of the other potential things that can rob your energy.
Excellent. Well, and I also love that the recommendation, one of the recommendations, if you're low in magnesium, is to take a bath with Epsom salts. It's like the perfect solution.
I know. I love it.
I was like, that's so beautiful. I have to have me time. I can do mindfulness in there while I'm in there. I can shut the door. I can't have anything I can't have anything electronic in there. It's perfect. It's the most brilliant solution ever. I wanted to talk a little bit about, because then we talk about the boosters. There's so much information packed into this book. And the way it's laid out is really wonderful. Whoever did the layout should be congratulated. There's boxes with just standout information that's really important and, you know, would be hard to pick out if it were just in that form. And as you say, it's sort of a menu of where you go for whatever suits your purposes in this book. A very three things that I want to discuss: dosage, interactions. Let's cover those two first, because those are very important in terms of, you know, when people say, oh, you're lacking in vitamin C. Well, just get some vitamin C and take that. The problem is, like with the example of omega-3, for instance, if you're boosting your omega-3, if you take too much of something, it negates the other thing. And talk to us a little bit about how we incorporate some of these changes in terms of knowing, you know, where to find information on interactions with other things that you're taking or eating or too much and things around there. Because it's sort of the practical application. We get the idea, but what's the practical application?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, yes, there's a lot in the book, and yes, it is fantastically laid out, and that is very much thanks to my publishers who worked so hard. But what I want to say before I answer your question is that the layout's really important, because while there's a lot of information in there, I don't want people to feel overwhelmed, because the people who are coming to this book are the very people who will probably think, oh, yikes, too much information, can't deal with it straight away. And that's why there are boxes and nuggets and little lists, so that you can dip in and out and you're able to get a little bit of support at a bit at a time at a pace that'll suit you. But in regard to interactions and how to have too much or too little, it's true you've got to be very careful. And throughout the book, I'm very cautious to point out that, in particular, if you're on medication, you do need to be speaking to your doctor. Because people think that nutrients are natural, lovely, healthy things. And, of course, they are. But in food form is one thing, supplement form is highly concentrated. So you need to be very careful about what you're doing with supplements. In the book, there's a whole sort of section against each particular nutrient, which will advise what the daily recommended allowance would be and where you might be going too far and what you need to think about. But there are lots of things to take into account. Minerals, for example, work in opposition to each other. So if you have too much zinc in your diet, that will knock out the copper. And copper is vitally important for energy. So generally speaking, if people are going blind and aren't seeking specialist advice, I'd say just use a really good quality multivitamin and mineral that's got a bit of everything in it. If you want to be targeting a bit more directly certain supplements rather than going the food route, then specific advice is a great help from a nutritional advisor of some sort. But also check with your GP, because if you are on things such as blood pressure medication, then taking magnesium could have a big impact on that. Blood thinners, you need to be very careful with omega-3. So there are lots of traps with supplements, and that's why most of the time throughout the book I really am recommending the food route.
Excellent. And a varied diet, like a really varied diet, will. And I think one of the things, a varied diet and as few processed foods as possible. I think that's the general theme.
Yeah.
Tell me something. Okay, so a specific thing for this month, and for me, I'm going to give you just selfish here, but I don't think I'm alone.
Go for it.
In the dry January scenario, which I have to say, I think people feel much better for, there's a tiredness and a stress post-alcohol use that's eliminated, which is great. But one of the things that, and sleep is better, but one of the things that does come in is sugar cravings. And so how does all of that relate, you know, blood sugar levels and sugar cravings? How should we best approach that?
Okay. Sugar's really highly addictive. And if you've suddenly got rid of it in January, then you'll probably be feeling pretty rough for the first couple of days. We always assume that will happen with things like caffeine or alcohol, but actually sugar is just as insidious and the withdrawal symptoms can be really vile. The body's actually programmed to keep levels of sugar in the blood in a very narrow band. And if it goes above or below, that's when an emergency is going to be created. So if the blood sugar's too high, the hormone insulin's released to redress the balance and it will clear out all the sugar and send it off to the liver to be stored. But because it's an emergency reaction, instead of sending it back to the nice narrow band, your blood sugar will crash completely. And when it crashes, that's equally dangerous because we need sugar, it's our primary source of energy, and so our stress hormones are released. So every time your blood sugar crashes, you're releasing stress hormones. And frankly, most of us really don't need any more stress hormones in our lives. So the trick is to stay in the middle. And there are two secret weapons that will help you do that so that you can avoid the blood sugar seesaw up and down throughout the day. One is fibre, so the brown version of everything, brown bread, brown rice, brown pasta, and vegetables. These are all what's called complex carbohydrate, which your body will burn through much more slowly so that it'll keep you going for longer and give you sustainable energy. But the secret weapon in all of that truly is protein. Protein is hard to digest, so it slows down the release of the carbohydrate so that your energy levels are nice and steady. And as long as you stay in the middle there and are eating plenty of protein, then you're not going to crash and you're not going to have the sugar cravings, which are characteristic of the blood sugar crash. So, you know, if there was one thing I'd say to you for January, is make sure you're having protein with every meal and snack. And it's something women are terrible at. Men are much better at getting protein in their diets. We tend to, you know, perhaps have a little bit of fish or chicken in the evening, and that's about it. And you're motoring on, you know, green leaves for the rest of the day, and it simply isn't enough. So you don't have to have chicken with your breakfast, but you could add pumpkin seeds or chopped nuts. You could have hummus for snack time, and then you have your chicken perhaps with a salad or with some vegetables in the evening. And that steady influx of protein will really help reduce sugar cravings.
And also, I tend to not eat as regularly as I should. Sometimes I'll have coffee for breakfast and nothing till, you know, 11:30. Because I'm late, and then I volunteer, and then I go to yoga, and then I'm home, and then, you know, anything, I just stand at the refrigerator, wait till whatever falls in. This morning, I was very conscious. I was up and late, and I was going to grab the fruit, and whatever. I said, no, I had already sprouted some oats and chia seeds and flax seeds in the full-fat yogurt. Already, so I could have a couple of spoonfuls of that. I felt, and I had a handful of almonds, so I felt pretty good about that.
Wow, yeah, very good indeed.
Excellent, I got an A for that. Wonderful. But it's those times. I mean, how dangerous? I mean, it sounds stupid, yes, but relatively innocuous. But I think actually in terms of stress levels and blood sugar levels and abdominal fat and trying to shift weight, I think actually what I'm doing is a little dangerous.
Yeah, is the short answer. Because, you know, when those stress hormones come out, they are programmed to redress the balance. So they'll create a super strong craving, which, let's face it, is never going to be for a green vegetable. So you're going to automatically reach for what your body perceives as the quick fix, something sugary, something carby. And then, of course, you know, the blood sugar will go right back up and you're on that seesaw. Once you're on the seesaw, it's incredibly difficult to get off. So I know lots of people find it really difficult to have breakfast and don't always feel like it. But if you are able to have something, or even to have something a bit later, but before you're feeling desperate, the trick with managing your blood sugar is to eat when you're hungry, but not save it until you're desperate. Because when you're hungry, your brain is still managing your food choices. When you're desperate, the hormones have taken over. And we all know, in a battle with our hormones, the hormones are always going to win.
Yes, I feel like I've been driven around by my hormones the last 50 years. And speaking of being 50, I find handling stress more difficult. I sort of feel like, you know, you can only have so much stress in your life. It's sort of like a muscle that I'm at muscle failure. So little things that shouldn't be stressful kick it off. You know, it's sort of, you know, that starts the adrenaline, that starts the overwhelmed, that starts the lashing out crabbiness at my family, which they don't enjoy, apparently. Apparently that's a negative.
I don't know why there can't be more understanding. Well, the thing is, at 50, we're bang in the middle of hormonal overload. Things are going crazy. And so it's not so much that you personally have sort of reached your stress limit. It's more that one of the many wonderful things that come with being perimenopausal or menopausal is that it's not just about hot flushes. People only ever talk about that. But in my clinic all the time, I'm working with women who are struggling with anxiety when they've never had an anxious moment in their lives. And uncertainty, suddenly feeling that they're not quite the decisive, direct woman they used to be. The sense of overwhelming irritability. You can almost feel your blood pressure rising at times. And all of that is almost certainly to do with the menopause. So it's going to be all about supporting yourself through that, thinking about how you can have a diet that will balance your hormones. And although this book is more generally about energy, the great thing is that nutrition is like one massive network in the body, and by targeting one thing, you nearly always end up targeting another. And the truth is that by eating loads more vegetables, you're going to get more fibre, which will bind to old oestrogen in the diet, in the gut, and make sure that the hormones are extracted instead of recirculating through the bloodstream. You're going to get more magnesium, which is going to calm everything down. You're going to get more antioxidants, which is going to help you all around with your immune system. So just following a really good diet with whole grains and vegetables and balanced, where possible, organic foods can make a big difference to your hormones and to the way that you're feeling.
Excellent. And it'll give me the energy to apologize to my family. Excellent. Jackie Lynch, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much. I look forward to 10 days. In about 11 days' time, I go to Las Vegas. So I have 10 days to get my energy together. Thank you so much.
Well, that's fantastic. Las Vegas will enjoy your renewed va-va-voo. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And for more fascinating women, please go to radiogorgeous.com.